ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम श्री महागणपतये नमः ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः मूकं करोति वाचालम्
मूकं करोति वाचालम्
पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं
पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं
यत्कृपातमहं वंदे
यत्कृपातमहं वंदे
परमानंद माधवम्
परमानंद
माधवम् रीड द 51st वर्स कर्मजं बुद्धियुक्ताहि
कर्मजं बुद्धियुक्ताहि
फलं त्यक्त्वा मनीषिणः
फलं त्यक्त्वा मनीषिणः
जन्म बंध विनिर्मुक्ता
जन्म बंध विनिर्मुक्ता
पदं गच्छन्त्यनामयम्
पदं गच्छन्त्यनामयम्
कर्मजं बुद्धियुक्ता हि
कर्मजं बुद्धियुक्ता हि
फलं त्यक्त्वा मनीषिणः
फलं त्यक्त्वा मनीषिणः
जन्म बंध विनिर्मुक्ताः
जन्म बंध विनिर्मुक्ताः
पदं गच्छन्त्यनामयम्
पदं गच्छन्त्यनामयम्
सो हियर दिस वर्स talks about the greatness of karma, living a life of karma yoga. Karma yoga serves as an indirect means for moksha. Living a life of karma yoga, karma yoga is not something to be done. Karma yoga is something to be lived, you know, with the proper attitude. So karma alone is performed. Karma yoga is not performed. Understand? We say, I do karma yoga, we say it's a wrong expression. Karma alone is performed. So karma performed with proper attitude converts the karma into yoga. Yoga means what? Yoga is that which prepares your mind for jnanam. Therefore, karma yoga, how does it become indirect means for moksha? Because karma yoga prepares the mind for jnanam. It contributes, it paves way for antahkarna shuddhihi, thereby antahkarna naischalyam, thereby it prepares the mind for jnanam, thereby it creates a conducive condition of the mind, thereby jnanam takes place. Therefore, jnanam itself is mokshaha, therefore karma yoga is indirect means for mokshaha. Remember that antahkarna sattva shuddhi dvara, remember that jnana sattva shuddhi jnana praptihi. Sattva shuddhi dvara jnana praptihi. Understand? Remember the sentence last time I told you. Therefore, karma yoga is an indirect means for moksha. See, living a life of karma yoga itself is not jnanam. Living a life of karma yoga itself is not moksha, is not an ultimate end. Understand? But without living a life of karma yoga, no antahkarna shuddhi is possible, no mental preparedness required for jnanam is possible, without which moksha is not possible. Understand? So which is important? Karma yoga is important or jnanam is important? Tell me, what is important? If you say no, karma yoga is important, jnanam is not important, we say we are wrong. If you say jnanam alone is important, we don't need karma yoga, we say this also wrong. Why? Because ultimately what we seek always is mokshaha. This is fullness. That fullness is not something to be attained. Fullness is something which is already there. As the very surupam of everything that is here, every one of you, every self, that fullness is something to be discovered. for which all that we need is mental preparedness. That mental preparedness is possible in terms of anshuddhi, purity, and which is possible only if we live a life of karma yoga, a dharma governed life lived with Ishwara arpana buddhihi, Ishwara prasada buddhihi. Therefore, karma yoga is an indirect means for moksha. Therefore, karmajam phalam tyaktva, buddhi yuktaha, manishinaha, those who discriminate people who are ended with the attitude of Ishwarpana buddhi and prasada buddhihi, those who live a life of karma yoga, then they become free from bondage of cycle of births and deaths. Such people, anamayam padam gacchanti, they become free for good from all sorts of problems in life. Anamayam, all sorts of problems, any problem is looked upon as an amayaha, disease. Why? What is a disease? Anything which causes discomfort is disease. So he anamayam means, so any problem causes discomfort, doesn't allow you to be peaceful and at ease. No? Therefore, anything which disturbs your easiness is disease. And here we say anamayam means, anamayam pada means, they become free from all sorts of problems which keep you, which cause discomfort, which disturb your easiness. Now, they become free from problems for good. But anamayam padam gacchanti. So Shankara says that, read the next bhashyam here. Athava buddhi yogat dhananjaya ityarabhya. So there's a previous verse where it begins with buddhi yogat dhananjaya ityarabhya. From that verse onwards, paramartha darshana lakshana yeva sarvataha sampluta udakasthaniya karma yoga sattva shuddhi janita buddhihi darshita sakshat sukruta dushkruta prahanadi hetutva shravanat. So what he says is here in this context, in the wake of the knowledge of reality, everything else that we have heard now, all that any knowledge of the Vedas, all the four Vedas, look at this, all the four Vedas, 32 Puranas, Ramana, Mahabharata, the Itihasas, okay, all these epics, and all other Manushastram, or Dharmashastram, all the books of all the disciplines, everything becomes not necessary, unnecessary for the one who has this jnanam. Like what? I don't say they're useless. I never say useless. Not necessary. That means what? Suppose if there is a place full of water, flooded with the water, everywhere there's water, and you find a reservoir full of water. The reservoir full of water, now how much use is, now how much of, what is the use of having the reserve full of water in a place of floods? If there's a desert, if there's drought everywhere, then you find reserve full of water, my God, it is very much useful and very much necessary. But in a place of floods, you find reserve full of water, it's not necessary, it is of no use. Understand? Doesn't serve any purpose. Similarly, for the person of vision of this reality also, all these shastras become unnecessary. And unnecessary means what? They don't serve any purpose. In fact, instead of saying they don't serve any purpose, they've already served their purpose. Understand? Very important to say that they've served their purpose. They don't need to be used anymore. Understand? For that jnanam is paramartha darshanam. Paramartha darshanam means what? Parama artha, paramasya arthasya darshanam, paramartha darshanam. So vision of the absolute reality. Paramartha is absolute substance, absolute reality. Vision of the absolute reality is paramartha darshanam. And for that darshanam, for that vision of reality, in the, understand, in which all these other disciplines and all other books of knowledge, all of them become as useless as the reservoir of water in the place of floods. For that vision, you need what? Mental purity. And all that mental purity, what is it which will prepare you for mental purity? Living a life of karma yoga. So living the kris karma yoga, which prepares one mind for jnanam, which makes the mind mature and pure. The way it prepares the mind for jnanam is karma yoga, and therefore karma yoga becomes indirect means for mokshaha. That is what is again repeatedly said here. And then for that buddhi, for that vision to rise, paramartha darshana lakshana buddhi, okay, that vision to rise, like what? Sarvataha samprata udakasthaniya. Okay, just as the reservoir full of water becomes useless in a place of floods, similarly this knowledge of everything has become useless for the person who has the vision of this reality. And such a vision, how does it happen? Karma yoga ja sattva shuddhi janita buddhihi. That knowledge, that vision is possible, that vision is born, vision rises only if you have karma sattva shuddhi. Sattva shuddhi is possible only if you live a life of karma yoga. So karma yoga ja, okay, karma born of karma yoga. What is born of karma yoga? Karma yogena jayate iti karma yoga ja. Okay, what is born of karma yoga? What is that you gain as a result of living a life of karma yoga? Sattva shuddhihi, mental purity. So karma yoga ja sattva shuddhihi means what? Mental purity born of living a life of karma yoga is what karma yoga ja sattva shuddhihi. And if you have sattva shuddhihi, then buddhihi janita bhavati. Then you have the vision. What is born? Buddhihi. What buddhihi? Vision of the oneness of reality. Here buddhihi means the rising of knowledge of the oneness of reality. Understand, the vision of reality is called buddhihi here. So buddhihi janita, the knowledge rises, knowledge dawns, knowledge of the reality dawns. Where? In the pure mind. And what is the pure mind? How do you get the pure mind born of living a life of karma yoga? So karma yoga ja, okay, sattva shuddhihi. Karma yoga ja sattva shuddhihi, karma yoga sattva shuddhihi. So karma yoga sattva shuddhi janita taya, understand, sattva shuddhya janita buddhihi. The vision is what vision? Paramartha lakshana. Paramartha darshan lakshana is possible. Therefore, that vision, sakshat, directly, sukruta, dushkruta, prahanadi, hetutva, shravanat. That becomes what? Immediately, the vision of the oneness of reality frees one from all forms of punya papas. All punya papas resolve. No more a jnani has a punya, no, papam. No more a jnani has punyam. That means what? Jnani becomes free from both sukrutam and dushkrutam, punyam and papam. That means he doesn't have karma phalam. He is free from agamya hachitam immediately. Prarabdham also he just exhausts, living unaffectedly with objectivity. You know that? Prarabdham also he lives. He has punya papa, he goes through punya papa, which comes as prarabdha. But how does he live? With objectivity. Thereby what? There is no internalization. He is not affected by that. He lives unaffectedly. But he has what? He becomes free from agami and sanchita. All what happened to punya papas? He has lots in his store. Don't think that all punya papas are gone. Punya papas are there, but a jnani they are not there. He becomes free, completely free, but just by disowning them. What is which may helps him to disown his punya papa? Not by simply saying, no, I did not do it. Not by simply saying it. In the vision, I got resolved. I told you, the vision of the reality, the vision of the fullness, the meaning of, in discovering the meaning of the word I, the I got resolved. I has gone, therefore, no, anything belonging to the I also cannot exist independent of the I. Understand now? That is how a jnani is free from all punya papas. So what the whole sentence says here, this jnani becomes free from all his punya papas, becomes free from all this agami sanchita, lives his prarabdha also unaffectedly with objectivity. Therefore, once he doesn't have punya papa means, there's no need for him to assume another body and to live, to exhaust. Therefore, he is free. Understand? Jivaneva muktaha. He is free while living. He is free, becomes free while living. How did he get this? Because he has the vision of reality. How did that vision happen? Because he has antakarna shuddhi, sattva shuddhi. How is he sattva? He has sattva shuddhi because he lived life of karma yoga. Because we have heard karma yoga enjoying the status of being indirect means for moksha in this way. Okay, we see how karma yoga is important. Karma yoga is highlighted in these verses, which we have seen till the 51st verse. Yoga anushtana janita sattva shuddhija buddhihi kada prapyate iti uchyate. See, buddhihi kada prapyate. When does one get this vision of oneness of reality? When does this knowledge dawn in one's buddhi, one's mind? What sort of knowledge? Sattva shuddhija, the knowledge which is knowledge of the reality which rises as a result of antakarna shuddhihi. Sattva shuddhija buddhihi. Sattva shuddhija buddhihi means what? The buddhi here means knowledge of the reality which rises as a result of mental purity. And mental purity, how does one get? Yoga anushtanena, by living a life of karma yoga. See, one long compound tells you so much. Understand? Yoga anushtanena janita sattva shuddhihi. Okay? Taya shuddhya jata buddhihi. This was a long sentence. So how does, when does one get this vision of the reality? When does this knowledge dawn in the buddhi? Knowledge which is born of the mental purity which one gets as a result of living a life of karma yoga. Is it clear now? See, again and again and again, Shankara in all his sentences, he makes it very clear, karma yoga being an indirect means for moksha. See, karma yoga itself is not the end, moksha, but without, understand, living a life of karma yoga, no jnanam is possible, no antakarna shuddhi, sattva shuddhi is impossible, mental purity is impossible without living a life of karma yoga, without mental purity, the vision of reality is impossible, with which itself is moksha. Understand? Therefore, karma yoga being an indirect means for moksha is repeatedly, emphatically said by Shankara through the Bhashyam. Yoga anushtana janita sattva shuddhija buddhihi kada prapyate. The simple sentence, okay? When does one gain jnanam? Eppo oruvarukku manadil indha jnanam udikkum? When does one, the knowledge rise in one's mind? Which jnanam? The jnanam which happens only when one becomes mentally pure. How does one become mentally pure? By living a life of karma yoga. Understand? It's a long sentence. Very simple. Remember the sentence, okay? Yoga anushtana janita sattva shuddhija buddhihi. Long sentence. When does knowledge take place? So he says here, the answer comes. Yada te moha kalilam,
yada te moha kalilam,
buddhir vyatita rishyati,
buddhir vyatita rishyati,
tada gantasi nirvedam,
tada gantasi nirvedam, श्रोतव्यस्य श्रुतस्य च
यदा ते मोहकलिलम्
बुद्धिर्व्यतितरिष्यति तदा गन्तासि निर्वेदम् श्रोतव्यस्य श्रुतस्य च
See, the question was kada, when does knowledge dawn? When does one get jnanam? When is knowledge got, attained? Kada, the answer is yada. Yada means, it's an indeclinable word. Yada, when. No, not a question, it has to become when. It has to be followed by then. Okay, tada. When te buddhihi, you have to say te means your, te yada yappozhudhu, te when, te your tava, te your moha kalilam. No, moha kalilam means what? Moha kalilam yada te buddhihi. Buddhi has to go before that actually. When your buddhi moha kalilam vyatitarishyati. Moha kalilam vyatitarishyati. Moha kalilam means what? Shankara says mohatmakam. Aviveka rupam kalushyam. Moha kalilam means what? Indiscrimination. Okay? Lack of discriminative knowledge is mohaha. So moha eva kalilam. Moha kalilam. Moham ennum aluk, okay, the dirt of moham. What is that which really veils the vision now, which covers the reality, which veils that now? Nothing can cover it. Understand? It's only moha kalilam. Here the lack of discriminative knowledge. Mohaha. I told you already, moha is an opposite of vivekaha. Vivekaha means discriminative knowledge. Moha is lack of discriminative knowledge. Moha kalilam vyati tarishyati. Vi ati tarishyati. Then your buddhi will overcome this indiscrimination, this lack of discriminative knowledge, this moha, delusion. In fact, moha is delusion. When your buddhi will overcome delusion. How can buddhi overcome delusion? By knowing, by having viveka. By having viveka is overcoming delusion, nothing else. Vitarishyati tada nirvedam gantasi. Then nirvedam literally means, nirvedaha means indifference. Okay, nirvedam gantasi, he says, you will be dispassionate towards what? Both whatever you have heard all these days. Shrotavyam means whatever has to be heard. Shrutam means whatever has been heard. Idhuvarikkum kedkapattathu shrutam. Whatever has to be heard, whatever is going to be heard hereafter, that is shrotavyam. So there with the whatever has to be heard hereafter, whatever is yet to be heard and understood, whatever you have already heard and understood, shrutasya shrotavyasya. You will be dispassionate towards both what has been heard earlier all these days and what is going to be heard. That means what? You will not have any passion at all for any more listening. Nice, isn't it? Why? Because the very thirst for knowledge would have been quenched. Now, I mean, you will not have any thirst for knowledge. That's not mean you're going to be dull and all that. That means the thirst for knowledge would have been quenched for good. Why? Because the vision of reality is such. It is by knowledge of the reality. What is the greatness about knowledge of reality is how much ever you study and how much ever you know, the thirst for knowledge will not get quenched. Again, you want to know something more, something more, something more. The more you know, the more you study, the more you are exposed, the more you understand, the more you come to know of our ignorance. It's very important to come to know of ignorance first. And the more you come to know of ignorance, the more you will want to know. Understand? See, the less we know, we come to know of ignorance, the less, the more we will not want to know. It's a problem actually. It's good. The more we come study, the more we understand, the more we come to know of ignorance, the more we want to know. Understand? Always, that is where it's a fire, agni, okay? The desire to know is always insatiable. Desire, not a desire for anything. Desire to know also is insatiable. That's why people buy books and keep. Now all the, like, every cupboard becomes filled with books. Study or not, different thing. I mean, we are so greedy after books. You want to buy all the books. And listen, any book you want to buy and keep. Okay, we read as a different thing, but we want to hoard everything. You may not have time to read also. How many books, how many of you have finished reading all the books you have in your shelves? Tell me, I haven't. That's why I'm asking all of you. Always we buy lots of books and keep, because it is very natural for us to have, you know, that sort of desire for knowledge. I want to know more, know more, know more. And that itself is sort of, you know, our expression of our inadequacy. The desire to know more is what? Expression of my inadequacy. That is that I can't stand ignorance. That's my basic fundamental problem. I want to know. Because I'm inadequate. I'm small in terms of knowledge. So I want to be, I want to know more. That is very natural thing. Nobody can suppress your desire for knowledge. Know that. Not, you can't suppress any desire. No desire can be suppressed or destroyed. And desire for knowledge also cannot be suppressed, definitely. Therefore, you want to know more. But here, once you know the reality, okay, in the wake of the knowledge of the reality, when knowledge of the reality dawns, definitely the desire for knowledge, the thirst for knowledge gets quenched for good. Why? Because the very aham goes. The smallness resolves. How in the wake of knowledge of reality, how does this the thirst for knowledge gets quenched? How does it happen? Because the very small, there's no smallness. The sense of being small in terms of knowledge gets resolved. Okay, the problem of smallness centered on I in terms of knowledge. Understand? I am small. I don't know anything. I know only this much. I am small in terms of knowledge. That smallness becomes resolved. The problem goes. How any or the smallness and an I, it's the basic form that goes. And the smallness in terms of knowledge also gets resolved. How? Because I becomes resolved. How does I become resolved? Because the reality in terms of its swarupam becomes understood. When it becomes understood, you understand that fullness, which is not pure knowledge, is nothing, that is the knower there, subject I. There's no I, other I. Where is the I? What is the substance or the substantive I? Where is I sitting separately? Because you have done this with this drishyaveka prakriya. You have done this analysis of distinguishing the self from the non-self. You understood everything as object of knowledge, and you have negated all the objects of knowledge. You have arrived at what now? You have already understood reality. It has to be understood in terms of its swarupam, and that reality which understood only in terms of its swarupam as pure knowledge is available for recognition only as the knower subject of knowledge. A subject of knowledge is actually the I. Therefore, there is no I other than awareness. There is no I knower other than awareness. We resolve the knower in pure awareness, the pure knowledge. Thereby, the I become resolved in the pure knowledge, the pure awareness. I becomes resolved. Where is the I? Understand? So, the very I becomes resolved. the knower becomes resolved. Therefore, the problem of smallness in terms of knowledge centered on I also becomes resolved. Therefore, you become there cannot arise any desire. Understand? No desire can arise there. I want to know. For that, I is not there anymore. For that, for the want to be there, understand? Therefore, how can, what is there for you to know? This is total dispassion. The dispassion, this is what is proper dispassion. Understand? There's no dispassion is possible. Purna vairagyam. Total dispassion, we talk about the dispassion as the very surupam of reality in the word, understand the word Bhagavan. Where there is fullness, there cannot be any desire. Where there is fullness, there cannot be desire. Why? There cannot be inadequacy. Where there is no fullness, there can be inadequacy. Where there is fullness, there cannot be inadequacy. Where there is no inadequacy, there cannot be needs. Where there are no needs, there cannot be any desires. Desires cannot arise at all naturally. See, you don't undo the desire, you don't suppress the desire. The desire itself does not arise in a jnani, cannot arise in a jnani naturally, effortlessly. There is no desire. This it does not arise. Aase udippade illaina. Why does it does not arise? Because there are no needs. Why the needs are not there? There is no need. Why there are no needs? Because there is no inadequacy. Why there is no inadequacy? Because there is only fullness. What is fullness? Have you attained fullness? No, the discovered fullness. What is that? Very surupam. Understand? Therefore, that is why knowing the reality, knowing the pure knowledge and knowing the fullness is one and the same. Understand? That is why when the vision of reality dawns, then the vision of the oneness of reality, in the vision of fullness, naturally, effortlessly, simultaneously, inadequacy, needs and desires, all of them resolve simultaneously. Therefore, what now? Why? Because in vision of fullness, the problem of I becomes resolved. When I becomes resolved, this problem of smallness being sent down I, in terms of anything, in terms of knowledge, also becomes resolved. Therefore, there is no passion for knowledge. Understand? Passion for knowledge cannot be there. Passion for anything cannot be there. Understand? There cannot be passion for anything. Therefore, there is total dispassion, nirvedam. Towards what? Dispassion towards shrotavyasya. What has to be heard anymore? And also what has been already, what has to be heard anymore? Hereafter, what has been heard all these days, okay? Whatever has been heard, whatever has to be heard hereafter. So towards anything, understand that means jnani doesn't have any passion for anything to hear anymore, understand? And whatever has been heard also doesn't know. Dispassion, total dispassion towards everything, not only towards knowledge, everything, effort for knowledge also. Why? Because the jnani is the one who has got his thirst for knowledge now quenched for good. No other knowledge of nothing else other than the reality, really quenches one's thirst for knowledge. Because no knowledge of any other thing will not solve this problem of smallness being centered on I. That is the reason. Okay, what solve this problem of smallness being centered on I? For headache, you have to take only headache medicine, you know. If you have stomachache, medicine will not solve problem of headache or cholesterol. Not solve, you have to take the appropriate medicine for appropriate problem. Here the problem is, all this very problem itself is because of the problem of smallness being centered on I. And this particular problem can be resolved only in the wake of the vision of the reality, not the knowledge of. That's why people ask, is it okay if we study physics? See, every knowledge is Bhagavan's order, Ishvara. That's why we worship every book, okay? Even ordinary paper we can't throw. everything we bow to, because for us any information is Ishvara, knowledge. Understand? So physics is one order of Ishvara, and then chemistry is one order of Ishvara, biology is one order of Ishvara, whatever sciences we have, so many varieties we have, you know, too many disciplines we got now, so many departments, every new university, new things. Every discipline is what? A discipline. The very word is a very beautiful word. Discipline of knowledge is what? And one order of Ishvara. We bow to all of them. But they all, okay, they will not quench, they will not solve the problem of smallness being centered on I. This knowledge of reality alone will solve the problem of smallness being centered on I. Understand? Because this is the only knowledge wherein you resolve ahankara. How? I told you in the class, you resolve the I, very I. Therefore, he says here, this jnanam, when you overcome this delusion of mistaking the anatma for the atma. How? By knowing what atma is, by knowing what atma is not first, but you first know what atma is not, what the self is not, thereby you know what the self is. Then knowing what the self is, then you don't mistake the anatma for the atma. Understand? You overcome this delusion of mistaking anatma for the atma by having viveka. Then what happened? You will see that problem of smallness behind an eye will be resolved. Thereby you will be dispassionate towards anything to be heard, anything which has been heard already. So shrotavyasya shrutasya cha nirvedam gantasi. You will be dispassionate toward, or you will have this, okay? Nirvedam gantasi means you will attain dispassion, or you will have dispassion, you will be dispassionate. Towards what? Towards whatever has to be heard and whatever has been heard. That means what? You will not have any desire at all. Now that you are going to give up your desires, the very desire would have given you up. Understand? You will not have any desire at all anymore. When you solve this problem of smallness being centered on I, by resolving by knowing the meaning of the word I, by having discriminative knowledge of what Atma is not, what Atma is, and what Anatma is. Understand? This is the meaning of the verse. We'll see that now.
Yada te moha kalilam,
yada te moha kalilam,
buddhirvyatitarishyati,
tadagantasi nirvedam,
Shrotavyasya shrutasya cha.
So we'll see the bhasham. Yada.
Yada.
Yada means what he says? Yasmin kale. Can you say read out me? Yada.
Yada.
Yasmin kale.
Yasmin kale.
Yanda kalatil. Eppozhudhu. Okay. Te.
Te.
Te means tava. Unnudaiya tava. Your moha kalilam. So moha kalilam, Shankara gives the meaning, moha atmakam, aviveka rupam kalushyam. Moha, mohatmakam, yes, moha kalilam means mohatmakam. What is mohatmakam? Aviveka rupam. What is kalilam? Kalushyam. No? Kalushyam. You can say always the mist covers, you know, the dirt covers. So kalushyam, you can say dirt or mist or, you know, veiling thing. So here, what is that? What is the dirt which, you know, this mist that which really covers this jnanam? Aviveka rupam. indiscrimination or lack of discriminative knowledge. What is avivekaha? See, mohaha is equal to avivekaha. Moha is opposite to vivekaha. Understand? So, aviveka rupam in the form of the dirt, in the form of lack of discrimination. It is yena.
Yena.
Atma. Anatma. Viveka bodham.
Viveka bodham.
So because of which delusion, atma anatma viveka bodham kalushi kritya. Atma anatma viveka bodham means what? Knowledge, discriminative knowledge of atma and anatma. What atma is, what atma is not, what anatma is, okay, what is non-self, what the self is, what the self is not. Understand? This discriminative knowledge of atma and anatma, this knowledge, no, kalushi kritya, understand, vishayam prati antahkaranam pravartate. So kalushi kritya, this covering this, okay, kalushi kritya means what? Covering, veiling this discriminative knowledge of atma and anatma, okay, this the mind takes the mind towards the anatma. It takes the mind towards the anatma. That means what? It makes you mistake the anatma for the atma. It covers this discriminative knowledge. Understand? This delusion covers the discriminative knowledge. It makes you mistake the anatma for the atma. Understand? So vishayam prati antahkaranam pravartate. It makes the mind take the anatma for the atma. Tat chidat tava buddhihi vyatitarishyati. See, kadakkum, okay, vyatitarishyati will cross over, overcome. Vyatikramishyati, when your intellect will overcome that delusion of mistaking the anatma for the atma. Understand? Overcome the delusion which really prevents you from seeing having the discrete knowledge of atma and anatma. Then he says here, ati shuddha bhavam apatsyate. Then you ati shuddha bhavam apatsyate. Then there will not be anything. Ati shuddha bhavam apatsyate. You will attain purity. What purity here? Not the purity in terms of antakarana shuddhi. Here, you will understand the self being completely purity itself. Understand? You will not become pure. Understand? You will not become pure. You will understand the self being purity itself. Atishuddha bhavam apatsyate means what? You will attain the self being, attain the self which is purity itself. Can we ever say that our self becomes pure? At least self never becomes pure. Please understand. Self is always pure. Not only pure, purity itself. Understand? Self is the purity. Self can never become pure. Antakarnam becomes pure. And this antakarnam becomes pure. But what is that which really veils this? Atma, anatma, vivekaha. Now, when you see we see the wave and the water, you see very clearly, oh, this is wave, this is water, this is water is the reality, wave is as though, wave is mithya, water is satyam, and wave is nothing but water is not the wave is the reality. Even though we see wave and the water, of both these things, one is satyam, one is mithya, one cannot exist independent of the other. Understand? The water cannot take, water can exist independent of the wave, but wave cannot exist independent of the water. Wave is mithya, water is satyam. And he says, no, you will not mistake water for the wave. You will see the water as water, wave as wave. This water is discriminative knowledge. He says, viveka buddhi, vivekaha or viveka buddhi. Understand? Viveka buddhihi or vivekaha itself. Discriminative knowledge. If you do not see that, understand, you do not see water at all, you mistake the wave for the water, that there is no discriminative knowledge of what the water is, what the water is not, what the wave is. Understand? There is no discriminative knowledge. What is that which prevents you from water, from seeing the water being the real satyam and wave being mithya? Your lack of the knowledge, discriminative knowledge. Therefore, it really, how mist covers things, how dirt covers things, your own indiscriminate, your own lack of discriminative knowledge, that's why ignorance itself veils. Ignorance veils what? Your discriminative knowledge of what Atma is, what Mithya is, Satyam is, what Mithya is, what Anatma is. Understand? Therefore, when your buddhi, when you have this Atma, Anatma, Viveka, Jnanam, when you have this discriminative knowledge of what Atma is, what Anatma is, then you will not mistake the Anatma for the Atma. You will see Atma as Atma, Anatma as Anatma. Then yada, that is what is said to be vyatitaranam, overcoming. Vyatitaranam. Taranam means crossing. Atitaranam means crossing over. Vyatitaranam, crossing over, means again you won't go and sink, okay? Vyatitaranam means overcoming for good. When you are so clear, no doubt at all, it's called Vyatitaranam. Two prefixes, understand? Vyatitaranam. Taranam means crossing. Or you can say swimming also is called taranam. Tarati. Ati tarati. Vyati tarati means what? Overcomes for good. Again, does not go back and fall into it. Okay? That's what is the meaning. Vyati tarishyati. When you will overcome this problem of lack of discriminative understanding of what Atma is, what Anatma is. Understand? When you overcome this problem for good. How? By having Viveka. Okay, through Viveka, by having this knowledge of what Atma is, what Anatma is. By knowledge, when you overcome ignorance. Simple thing. What happens then? You will Atishuddha Bhavam Apsyate. That means what? You will understand the self being purity itself. Understand? Self is something which cannot be tainted by anything, touched by anything. Understand? Self is untouchable. Self is not untouchable. Okay? Self cannot be touched by anything. Why? Because there's no second thing for one, I mean, two things for one thing to touch another thing. Understand? When all that is there is reality, means what is second thing which can touch the other thing? Which wave can go and touch the water? Can wave ever touch the water? Taint the water? Understand now? Why? Because wave is very water. Wave is never separate from the water. Wave is not a second reality for enough to touch the first reality. Understand? Wave does not enjoy the same order of reality. You're never away from that. Wave is water. Therefore, nothing in this universe which is not the reality, nothing can touch and impure, and understand, make it impure. Therefore, this is Shuddha Bhavam Apatsyate. Atishuddha Bhavam Apatsyate means what? You understand the self being, the purity itself. So all that you do need to do is, we have delusion. We are deluded. What is delusion here? We do not see, we mistake the Anatma for the Atma. That is due to our lack of discriminative knowledge of what Atma is, what Anatma is. So by knowing discriminatively what Atma and Anatma is, we can overcome this Atma, this delusion, that then you see Atma being the purity by itself. Then you overcome for good. Tada. Tasmin kale. Then when you will overcome this, understand, overcome this delusion of mistaking the Anatma for the Atma by knowing what Atma is, what Atma is not, what Anatma is, then gantasi prapsyasi, you will attain. What you will attain? Nirvedam. What is Nirvedam? Vairagyam. What is Vairagyam? Dispassion. What is dispassion? desirelessness. Here, vairagyam. Towards what? Dispassion towards what? Here, shrotavyasya, shrutasya cha. So, shrotavya means that which has to be heard, which ought to be heard, which has to be heard, understand, which must be heard, is shrotavyam. So, you will not have any passion for, there won't be something that you must hear. Understand, there won't be something for you. There won't be any passion for such things. Then shrutam is what? Whatever you have heard all these days. Your great passion for so many things which you have heard before. No more passion. Understand now? The shrutasya, shrotavyasya cha. There's no, there'll be, you will have, you'll be dispassionate. Shrutancha, okay, shrotavyam, shrutamcha,
te,
nishphalam,
pratibhati.
Why do you say, I'll be dispassionate towards what has been heard and what should be heard? Why? Because they will not be useful for you. Understand? Because you have already, you are already fullness. And only if there's inadequacy, then any gaining of anything, understand, we can at least do something for it, will be of use. For the person of fullness, who revels in the full vision of fullness, nishphalam means what? They are not required, they are of no use. Because it does not going to add to the fullness. You are already fullness. The fullness cannot be increased. The limitlessness cannot be increased. Nothing, okay? The addition of knowledge, external knowledge, is not going to make you bigger than what you are. So, nothing can be added to your fullness. Nothing can improve your fullness. That is why nishphalam pratibhati, it becomes not unnecessary, becomes useless. That is why discovering fullness, there will be one dispassion, total dispassion is not possible unless and until one discovers fullness. In discovering fullness alone, you don't need to drive away the desires, you don't need to give up the desires just resolve themselves. There will be total dispassion in jnanam. That is why until jnanam, if anybody says, I don't have any desire for anything, we will not. Okay? It is not possible. The desire to say that you don't have desire for anything is expression of you are having desire. Understand that you want to say that you don't have desires. That is why nothing wrong in having desires. And nothing, you don't need to drive, you can't undo a disease. Very natural for us to have any amount of disease. Very natural. But the more and more and more we understand, the more and more we resolve ahankara by listening. Shastra Shravanam is not overnight business. Overnight, the meditation will not bring you overnight enlightenment. Okay? By listening again and again and again, wherein you will be sort of help to be in contemplation and you slowly resolve the ahankara. No, the more you understand, the more you become dispassionate. And in Vishnu, the fullness, there is total dispassion. Not you give up something for the sake of pleasing or to make others say that you are dispassionate. Understand? This is very natural here. Therefore, Tada Gantasi. This is what has already has been said. I told in the previous verse also. The same thing was mentioned earlier. This is where within the place of floods, the reservoir full of water is useless, means what? Because there won't be any need. The same thing has been said earlier. Other words also. So what, therefore, this sloka also indirectly praises Karma Yoga. Look at this. Why jnanam is great? Why? Knowledge of reality is very great. How it is? How it is great? My God, you will be, that is what real freedom. Listen, freedom from being a wanting person is real freedom. You are no more a wanting person. Understand? All your wants have become resolved. The passions have gone. You are totally dispassionate. The total dispassion is freedom, in fact. It's not something you made efforts to attain it. Something attained, very natural. Total dispassion is very sorup of the reality. There's no passion on the part of consciousness, awareness. Does consciousness have any passion for anything? Does consciousness have any desire for anything? If you say that consciousness does not have any desire, understand that every desire is consciousness. You can't say water has waves. Does water have wave? No. Water does not possess the waves. Every wave is water. Similarly, every desire is consciousness. Every thought is consciousness. So what do we do now? Understand, the desires just naturally arise in awareness, exist in awareness, understand, they resolve in awareness. That's what the desire is all about. And all these desires, turbulence, okay, we can't undo them. They're very natural. It's a part of the, it's a function of mentation. It's very natural. You can't undo anything. That is why when you the Shastram is against saying all this wrong teaching, okay? Give up desires. Don't have desires. Having desire is a papam, okay? Don't have desire means what? If I tell you not, don't have any headache, it's not right. Now you don't, you want to have a headache. It is naturally there. So the desire also is very naturally there. And all these desires are were expression of your passion. The passion is expression of your desire, in fact. So these passions, desires are very natural. They will be there as long as there is inadequacy. As long as there are needs. The needs will be there. When will I be free from all needs? A needs will be there as long as you are that you entertain the sense of being inadequate. Understand? As long as you think as long as you have inadequacy, there will be needs. And these desires will be arising, coming and existing and resolving. They'll be there. As long as desires are there, there'll be hurt, there'll be guilt, there'll be anger. All these things, you cannot undo them. Very natural. What can you undo? Hatred and jealousy and all these things, understand? All anger, all these things will be there. You manage very intelligently, that's all. You can't say don't have it. Managing is different from not having it. Very natural. So the diseases are because of needs, and needs are because of the inadequacy. Inadequacy is because of the problem of smallness being centered on I. Naan kuraigalai udaiyavan, that thought is so deep rooted because of your wrong identity. Because you mistake the body means completely the anatma for the atma. For you, I means body, I means mind, I means sense powers, I means pranas, I means the whole individual here. You don't really see where exactly I can be placed. You mistake the object for subject. And you don't even know what the subject is all about. Who the knower is, actually speaking. We know grammatically, in languages, what is who subject, who object is. But really, in the real sense, who exactly, what they know, understand, we do not know. Grammatically, no object-object difference, we have very clear. You won't say, no. When you say Rama reads a book, you won't say book is subject. You won't say that. You're very clear. Rama is subject and reads is a verb and book is an object. You know it very clearly. So grammatically, you know. But actually speaking, how do you define the word what an object is? How do you define what the subject is? If subject is the knower, object is not the known, then how do you define it? Our Shastram says, idam shabdena shuchyamanam, okay? Anything which can be indicated by or through, okay, any pronoun other than I is object of knowledge. Amazing, isn't it? Defines it. Definition. How do you know what is an object? If any object can be indicated by any pronoun other than first person singular pronoun I, including tvam, you, subject of knowledge. So I alone, anything which can be indicated by the first person singular pronoun alone is subject. And the knower, the knower of subject of knowledge is knower, object of knowledge is the known. Therefore, the Atma is available for recognition as the knower. So go in search of the knower. Oh my God, then you start knowing what the knower is. You search for knower. And so my everything is known. If we go by the definition, everything is known, then arrive at the knower. Then where the knower, who the knower is? Knower is not the form. Knower has no form. Knower has no eyes. Knower has no ears. Understand now? Who the knower is? And you said knower is all. Knower, there is no knower other than awareness, consciousness. This is what is resolving knower is the I, subject of knowledge. Resolving knower in awareness. You resolve the knower in awareness, then you can say this, the knower, the awareness. Awareness does not have punyam. Punyam is awareness. Papam is awareness. Understand? Pain is awareness. Pleasure is awareness. Awareness does not have pain and does not have pleasure. Similarly, awareness does not have these things. Everything does not have desire, does not have passion, does not have dispassion. Understand? All these are very awareness. Desire, everything is awareness. This is what is resolving. Understand? Once you, this is what is understanding what fullness is, and thereby, and then having understood this, and you keep on dwelling upon this nature of fullness, nature of the reality being fullness, and wherein you pure knowledge, and slowly, naturally, you really resolve in antakarna. Then desires resolve. Otherwise, there is no way of resolving the desires. That I told you once in the class, even the Puranas highlight, show here. Who is Manmatha? I told you Manmatha is a personification of desire. I think I might have told in the class. You remember that? Manmatha is a desire. Desire, have you ever seen Manmatha? Does desire have a form? No. Who is Manmatha? Manmatha, personification of desire. And we have our own, you know, we have our picture of Manmatha. What all we have studied in Manmatha means, and who is Rati? Attachment. Understand? Ratihi, attachment. Manmatha is, this is a desire. Once you have desire, you get attached to that is desire. Two states of mind, understand now. And why desire is called Manmatha? Because once the desire comes in your mind, you start planning. Okay, I want to get this. How to get this? What is the budget? How much money I should have? What can I do to get the money? Should I apply for the loan? Or do I have that money? Does it come? Now all these thoughts scheming. Where can I go? When can I go and get it? How can I go? Which day am I free? Whether I can drive there or not? I can go public transport. What I can? All that you scheme and plan so well and you get it done one day. Understand? That is, once the desire arises, you start scheming and planning. That's what said. Desire said. That's what is scheming and planning is called churning of your mind. Understand? Manaha matnati iti manmat. Matna, matna means, I don't know whether I do this. People who are not used to this act of matna, no, churning may not know that. Because our Indians may know this. No? In India, in olden days, we have to churn buttermilk like this. Churn the yogurt and then get the butter out of it. Churning. This is called churning. Understand? Mathanam. Matnati. Manaha matnati. Desire really churns the mind. And then churns the mind, comes with the idea. Understand? How to do that scheming. This is why Manmatha, desire, is nothing but personified. Manmatha's desire personified. And Ratihi, attachment. Once desire you have, attachment is inseparable from Manmatha. That's why husband and wife they are. And this desire and attachment, understand now? And this desire goes and sits. Suppose goes there. And Shiva, Lord Shiva. Who is Lord Shiva? I tell you. Pure awareness is Lord Shiva. Understand? Suppose in every mind, the knowledge rises, the knowledge dawns. mind understands, I become resolved. My God, where the knower is, where the knower is. You go on, keep on searching. I discover awareness. There's no knower other than awareness. Please understand, there's no knower other than awareness. Knower is awareness. Awareness is not the knower, but the knower is awareness. That knowledge, when it dawns, you keep on focusing on the nature of the reality. You understand it, you ascertain it, then the knowledge takes place. In the knowledge, where the desire is, it becomes discovered fullness. In the vision of fullness, inadequacy gone, the problem of small hunted on I gone, I itself has been resolved, I the knower has been resolved in awareness. Therefore, the smallness centered on I also becomes resolved. You don't drive away, it goes by itself. Then all the desires resolve. Desires are gone. That is what? In the wake of the knowledge is what? The wake of knowledge, ascertained vision of reality is what? Shiva opening his third eye. Understand what? Jnanakkan, Tirandhu Paakkavar. Shiva opening his eye means what? The Atma Swarupam being revealed to you is Shiva opening his eye. Understand? When you open the vision of fullness, there's only dispassion. All the diseases resolve themselves. Therefore, what happened to Manmatha here? Manmatha becomes ashes. The Agni, the fire of knowledge, burns the desire into ashes. We have the Purana say, understand? We say, oh, Shivan, Nantikanathana, Apya, Manmatha, Posikita. Understand? It's such a beautiful, I really love the way our legends present highly, highly, highly subtle facts. How they are presented in the story form. Now, Shiva, Lord Shiva, sits in meditation. And he opens his eyes. And there's a desire sitting there. That's all. Now the desire gets, the Manmatha gets burnt into ashes. What does it mean? Nobody becomes ashes, okay? Desire just cannot arise. Desire cannot arise. You are not giving up the desire. There is not desire. Naturally, the desire does not arise. The needs all gone. The problem of inadequacy gone. Inadequacy is possible only if the smallness of the problem of smallness being centered on I is there. That's gone. Why? Because the very I is gone. How has I gone? Where has I gone? I is nothing but the knower. Where is the knower? You resolve the knower as what? Resolve the knower in pure awareness. What is awareness? This is second awareness. All that is there is only awareness. There's no, if it is the awareness is something to be something comparable, again a problem. My awareness, your awareness. No. The my awareness and your awareness. You yourself are not there. How my and yours? Understand? So everything got resolved. All that is, there is the awareness. That is why this moha kalilam, yada te buddhihi moha kalilam yati tarishyati. When your mind overcome this problem of this delusion of mistaking anatma for the atma by knowing what atma and what anatma is, then I tell you, you will revel in fullness. In reveling in fullness, there cannot be passion for anything. There cannot be such a thing called passion at all. Therefore, Shrotavyasya, Shrutasyacha, Nirvedam Gantasi. Understand? That is why let us not make any efforts to undo our desires. Let us not feel guilty, wasting our time, energy, wasting our energy in feeling guilty about having desires. Let us try to understand what the desire is, why the desire is. Understand? Such a big difference, no? And for that vision of reality, mind, what is needed is antakarna shuddhihi. Sattva shuddhihi is very important for that vision wherein you can resolve ahankara, by which you can resolve the smallness, by which you can resolve all the diseases, Kunda to Kailasam, all of them can be sent and understand, resolved together. That is why we can say that jnanam is possible only if you have ansattva shuddhihi, mental purity. And that mental purity is possible only if you live a life of karma yoga. See how important it is to live a life of karma yoga. Understand? That is why Krishna talks about the greatness of jnanam. What moksha again he talks about in this context of talking about karma yoga. This is so clear. He makes it very clear what karma yoga is, how important it is, at the same time what jnanam is, how, understand? He puts things together. Okay. Now the 53rd verse. Moha kalila. Moha kalilatyaya dvarena.
Moha kalilatyaya dvarena.
Labdha atma viveka prajna. So kada karma yogam karma yogam phalam paramartha yogam avapsyami iti chet. Then the question comes, okay, that is fine. Now you have said, now when does one attain jnanam? You said when the indiscrimination, when the delusion goes, when you have discriminating knowledge of atma and anatma, then the delusion goes. Understand? When the delusion goes, now you have your reverent fullness, you solve all your problems. That has been said. Now he says, again the question comes, labdha atma viveka vivekaja prajnaha. So he says, the one who is blessed with the knowledge of the reality, born of discriminative understanding of what Atma is, what Anatma is. Why? Because Vivekaja Prajnaha means, Prajna means awareness, consciousness. But Prajnaha means one who has the doubt-free, ascertained vision of the reality. How is it possible for one to have the ascertained, doubt-free vision of the reality? No, only by being contemplative. How is it possible for one to be contemplative? See, how can he contemplate upon the nature of the reality who does not know what the reality is? That is why he says both things here. Look at this. Labdha Atma Viveka. Labdha Atma Viveka means what? One who has the discriminative knowledge of what Atma is, what Atma is not, what Anatma is. First, he has a discriminative knowledge of what Atma is not. And having gained the knowledge of what Atma is, then he can contemplate upon the nature of the Atma. Once he contemplates upon the nature of the Atma, he has what? Ascertained vision. That is why prajna, he becomes a prajna. Understand now? He has a prajna, he becomes a prajnaha. So, labdha atma vivekaja prajnaha. How? No, first he has lack of discriminative knowledge. He has delusion. He is deluded. Every human being basically deluded. Then what? He has what? Moha kalila. Understand now? And then, Moha kalila becomes removed. How does it become removed? By having discriminative knowledge. Once he has the discriminative knowledge, then what he does, he contemplates upon the nature of the Atma. Then he becomes what? Prajnaha. Understand? Labdha Atma Viveka Prajnaha. Such a person, kada karma yoga jam phalam paramartha yogam avapsyami. Then when can I attain really the mental purity and steadiness is gained as a result of living a life of karma yoga? How can I attain that? Now he says, that's the question he is asking. Tat shruno. Or you can say paramartha yoga, you can also say, when can I attain mokshaha, which is to be attained, absolutely, ultimately, as a result of gaining mental purity by living a life of karma yoga. Again he is asking, then how to be focused, how can I attain? So he tells here in this law, the very beautiful verse comes,
श्रुति विप्रतिपन्नाते यदा स्थास्यति निश्चला
श्रुति विप्रतिपन्नाते
यदा स्थास्यति निश्चला
I'll feel more comfortable if I can make you understand the Bhashyam I'm reading also. That I wish I can teach you Sanskrit, Samskritam also. Not Sanskrit, Samskritam. I wish I can teach you. Let me see what we can do.
Shruti viprati pannate
yada sthasyati nischala
samadhavachala buddhih
tada yogam avapsyasi
shruti viprati pannate
yada sthasyati nischala
samadhavachala buddhih
tada yogam avapsyasi
okay nischala buddhih nischala sthasyati nina chala means okay agitated okay nischala sthasyati when your mind when your attention of mind okay can remain yada sthasyati de buddhi nischala what is chala buddhi nischala buddhi if your mind is distracted understand distracted towards so many things and it is chala buddhi mind is not disturbed by so many things okay you are very focused mind is what nischala buddhi when your mind will be focused attention of your mind will be focused when it will not be distracted yada buddhihi nischala sthasyati then when it will be chala when it will be nischala when will it be focused when it will be distracted okay see shruti vipratipanna here the shruti vipratipanna is one word I will give the bhashya next class let me explain the mantra with this the verse see shruti pratipanna shruti vipratipanna shruti here means generally the veda mainly the karma kanda of the veda see the karma kanda talks about no varieties of rituals varieties of karma any ritual is what a karma okay and then it talks about the greatness say if you do this karma no you will get this phalam it's like no even nowadays also we say this we chant this mantra to get this and like that if you have to say that do that Shri Sukta homam if you perform then you will have lot of wealth now if you do this karma you get this phalam like nowadays people also come and tell you if you invest this much money in this business work for this many number of years now this will be your turnover this way that like that people tell you no when the people come and tell you naturally you get tempted why because you still have lingering desire for your that what is artha kamas you still have value because you still believe even though you know even if you study shastram even if you understand a fullness all that you want is fullness all that you search through artha kama everything is fullness and that fullness cannot be attained it is something to be discovered okay if you discover fullness definitely now if you discover fullness and then all your needs will resolve this is satyam this is a fact shastram says you do karma for artha you do karma for kama and then you do karma even to express dharma to live a life you can't live a life like the value of speaking the truth do not open your mouth at all Why you do remain quiet all the time? I want to live a life of truthfulness. I want to live a value of being truthful. So what? I don't want to speak at all. There's no way of being truthful. Understand? Without openness, you have to do the karma. You have to live the values. Karma has to be done. Living a value is to be expressed in doing karma. Therefore, for that also karma is important. So, artha kama dharma, you have to do karma. Without karma, mere jnanam, how to do, how to make puttu, will not knowledge. Now will not help you eat the puttu. You have to know how to make, so you have to really go and do it. Then you have, can eat it. You can enjoy. The palam is there. Understand? So what I'm saying here, the karma, for artha kama dharma, you need to know how to do, what to do, and then you have to implement that knowledge of action and put into practice. Then it has to be done to enjoy the palam. It's artha kama dharma. For that you have to do karma. So without pursuing artha and kama in conformity with dharma, there's no way of preparing your mind for jnana. Therefore, pursuit of artha kama dharma is very important. But for jnana, for moksha, you need not do anything at all. Knowledge itself is moksha. Jnanam itself is moksha. You don't need to do anything. Now, what about mental activity of meditation? No. You are not doing. That's also not doing. Understand now? You need to know. Knowledge itself is enough. Jnanam eva moksha. Understand? Knowledge itself is knowing what the reality is knowing what fullness is. Knowing what fullness is resolving all your smallness, which is freedom from being small, which is freedom from smallness and limitations. That itself is moksha. This is all you need, only jnanam. You don't need to do any karma. Understand? But we do not understand. We think, we still are so much inclined to do always. That is why anything which makes you do, the crowd goes always. Where you are not allowed to do anything, just understand and know that it's very difficult to have people. Understand now? It's very easy. If you're asked to do something, do pranayama, there'll be crowd. Do yogasanam, stretch your leg and the back pain will go, there will be crowd. But come here, sit, just be. If you say, who will come? Understand? Very difficult. That is why it's very natural for the people to be less for Vedanta. Understand? We know the trick. We know that there's the nature of the very thing. Very Shastra. Vedanta Shastra. But here, similarly, the karma kanda of Veda, the biggest portion of Veda, bigger size of the Veda, portion of Veda, talks about all prescribed varieties of rituals, talks about karma, know of karma. If you do this and do get this, if you do this, you can go to heaven. If you do this, you will attain that punya. Lots of you will get that, and this very tempting, very interesting. When Shruti tells all those things, if you have discrimination, I need artha for which I had to do action. For artha, if you think, understand? Artha kama dharma is fine, I can do karma kanda rituals, perform karma kanda rituals, I can attain artha kama dharma. But for moksha, all I want is jnanam. I need to know what fullness is. If you know this, what karma can do, what karma cannot do, understand? What artha can do, what artha cannot do, what kama is, what dharma is, then definitely, then you will not be distracted. For knowledge is moksha. If you think, if you know very clearly, then you will not be tempted. You will know, you will not undervalue the performance of rituals, or understand, at the same, do not overvalue that also. You will give due value, but you will know, you will not be tempted. You will not be distracted by, the glories of karma and karma yoga, karma kanda and all those things. The Shruti Vipratipanna, when your mind is not tempted, distracted by the glories of performance of rituals and the fruits which you can enjoy by doing rituals, then, utterly rituals, you can say karma also, any karma, come on, any artha kama dharma. Shruti Vipratipanna, one word which means when your mind is not carried away by the glories of karma prescribed in Karma Kanda, where your mind is not distracted or tempted by the praise of Artha Kama Dharma or the phalams you can enjoy by doing some karma, that karma, this karma, anything, then, only then, you're very clear. You have to be very clear. You say Purushartha Nischaya is very, very important. See, that is why without these understanding, these basic things, people come and tell me I'm meditating. I can't believe. They're meditating in their own sense, okay? There's no meditation. Still the mind is distracted. Still you have value for all those things. So Shuddhi Vipratipanna, only when you know, only when your mind is not carried away by, given to, tempted by, the karma and the karma phalams. Tada te buddhihi nischala bhavati. Only then you will be distraction free minded. Listen, I'll stop it here. Then, that is when Achala buddhihi samadho stasyati. Then, when your mind is not distracted, focused, then your attention of the mind can remain achala, focused. Remain in contemplation. Samadho achala stasyati. Nischala buddhihi samadho achala stasyati. The mind which is not distracted, the distraction-free mind, nischala buddhihi, will remain focused. Achala stasyati. Understand? Nischala stasyati. Achala buddhihi, nischala buddhihi, achala, it will remain focused. The distraction-free mind can remain focused. The distracted mind cannot remain focused. What is it which can distract the mind? All about karma and karma phalams. Any karma phalam is what? Artha kama dharma. So the value you have for artha kama dharma, all the karma phalams you can gain by doing karma, when you are given to that, committed to that, naturally you will be distracted minded. The distracted mind cannot be focused. If you know the limitations of artha kamas and all the karma and karma phalam, then you will get due value for karma phalam, artha kamas. At the same time, you will not be distracted by those things. Then artha kama dharma do not distract you. Then the distraction free mind can remain focused. Once you remain focused in reality, how can you miss the fullness? Tada yogam avapsisi. You will not fail in having the vision. You will not fail attaining the vision. Without fail, how can you miss the vision of reality? You are focused. Understand? If the attention of the mind is focused on the very nature of reality, where attention is? It's in the very reality. Not outside of it. That is why I've been telling them from the beginning, the very class should become contemplation. When you're listening to the very nature of unfoldment or the nature of the reality, where will your mind be? So, tada yogam avapsisi. Then you will have vision. That's all. Simple thing. For one to have the vision, mind has to be, at least the mind has to be focused. But attention of the mind to be focused, it has to be free from distractions. It has to be distraction-free mind. For the mind to be free from distractions, it should not overvalue karma and karma phalams. That's all. See, undervaluing also is wrong. Overvaluing is also wrong. Give due value. Understand? Simple thing. So beautiful, isn't it? Very beautiful. So clear this is. Now we will know whether we overvalue or we undervalue. If we undervalue, we are very, very, very wrong. If we overvalue, we are wrong. Give due value and don't overvalue. Know the limitation of karma and karma phalam. Then you will not be distracted. Once you have you are distracted, free minded, you can be focused. Once you are focused, you cannot miss the vision.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tatsat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.